B-Pod Studios.
They're Boston's number one afternoon show.
The most powerful sports radio show in New England.
America's number one afternoon sports show.
Yeah, but we're the biggest.
And number one in your heart.
And I just came here to help you rate it.
Sorry, John. Thank you. Don't need it.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
There's been an idea from within baseball, I believe from Toronto, floated about seven-inning doubleheaders, which takes us back to maybe Legion days or something like that. I mean, is this getting batted around? Is there any legs to something like that?
Well, we certainly have talked about the idea of using doubleheaders to maximize the number of games that we play. I think I have said publicly before that there's some numbers in baseball you can't change. Nine innings is one of them.
I'm with you.
When I said that, I wasn't thinking about this particular crisis. So, I'm sure it's something that will get some discussion.
Bob Manfred says some numbers you can't change, and nine innings is one of them. To which I says who?
Right.
Says who?
Now's the time where everything and anything should be on the table.
If nine innings takes 4 hours, I don't want nine innings.
Stubborn a-holes.
Who cares if the game's seven or nine or eight? What does it matter?
Right.
Seriously, what does it matter?
It doesn't.
That's
the way it's always been done, and we can't change it.
What matters is how long the effing thing takes. I mean, my God. The way the game goes, like, seven innings is plenty. It takes 3 hours to play seven innings now. Give me a break.
Think of it. If they had had the same attitude, think of some of the things we'd never have in sports. Like the most obvious one, the 24-second clock in the NBA. Like, you can't be rushed to shoot. No. We got to take our time. No. So you get what? You get a crap product in which they just, pass the ball around and nobody ever scores, which is what baseball is now. And yet baseball is stuck with this attitude, which to me, I don't get it. I don't. It's the only sport to me that I see making no effort to adapt to the times.
Okay, a couple of follow-up emails. Howard, baseball in late November, could they just play the games in the spring training facilities if it runs into late November? That to me makes more sense than a quote-unquote neutral site World Series game. In other words, if you can't play in Boston on December 10th, if you go to Fort Myers, it's sort of your people. It's your place. There's some home field there. Like, I feel better about that than playing a neutral site World Series in Marlins Stadium, which is a major league facility. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
it's like,
sure.
Like, doesn't in some ways, now you're going to lose the gate and the attendance, but it'd still be better for TV and you can play the game.
It's advantageous for that team, for the Red Sox, if they had to play in Fort Myers.
And it's kind of your people.
Yeah.
Every spring training city has those fans there just, and they're, again, the average age is death, but that's baseball.
But they're also familiar with the park.
Yeah. They can all come in their walkers and put their teeth, on the seat back and, watch their spring training team. And it's their fans. It's their team.
Yeah, you got to put your teeth with your cell phone through the scanner. when you come into the building, that's the way they'll have to do it.
Final email. So someone had said before, if Brady and Belichick meet in the Super Bowl, it'll be all-time great grudge match. I said, what else was on that list? Someone gave me a good one. Rich T writes in, Roger Clemens back here against Dan Duquette.
Yeah, it was a good one.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that when he pointed up at the press box on his way off the mound?
He did. Oh, yeah, I was there that day. I'll never forget it.
That was a good one. He also mentions Buddy Ryan and Mike Ditka. I guess I remember those when Ryan went to the Eagles and they hated each other. I don't remember one specific game. Like, I don't remember that. That Clemens one was a good one. That's a good one. That was a grudge. Not that Brady would ever do that, but that's the kind of level we're talking about.
And Mike, if we're, sometimes we miss the most obvious ones, like the border war. Parcells and Kraft was a great one here for a long period of time. And, we could dig through. We could come up with some good ones.
So we'll go back to your phones on everything. We've got Harry in Swansea. He's been waiting patiently on the Pats. Hi, Harry.
Yeah, how you doing? On the Pats. Could you just give me a minute to explain the numbers game with Belichick? I mean, let's face reality. In the last 20 years, he hadn't made the playoffs 1 year. What year was that?
It was 2008.
Yeah, with Castle. Right?
Yep.
He went 11-5. They didn't make the playoffs. Belichick didn't make the playoffs. Brady went 18-1 with that team. Then you go to Cleveland, he's under 500. He hasn't proven he can win without Brady. That's my point. He hasn't proven it, and the numbers show it. Didn't make the playoffs, 11-5. Brady went 18-1 in Cleveland, under 500. So you tell me where he's proven he can win without Brady.
I don't think he has. Terry Bradshaw does. I mean, I think that's what you're talking about. Bradshaw says,
well,
I know.
Bradshaw's wrong. Well, he's saying, I know Belichick can win without Brady.
Yeah, he might be.
Belichick. Where? Where, Terry Bradshaw?
Okay, Harry, I'm with you. I don't think either have proven it. I mean, I think Bill's given me a glimpse. He didn't make the playoffs in 2008, but they went 11-5. That's winning. And without Tom Brady since 2001, he's 14-6. So I have a glimpse. I have an indication that I think Bill can win without him, but he hasn't proven it. And Brady's never had a chance to prove it. So I think they're both unproven without each other.
That's what makes it so fascinating. Yeah. It's not a big enough sample size, at least here with the Patriots, that you can look at Belichick and be like, oh, no, he can do it without Brady. We don't really know.
But Harry's right to say, what, you know, what's Terry Bradshaw talking about? I know Bill can win without Tom. You do? Based on what? You know, based on what?
Yeah, again, the way Bradshaw said that made it sound like Belichick had two titles before he ever got here.
Right, exactly.
As a head coach. And so I found that comment kind of curious, too. I'm glad Harry brought it up.
Darren in Dorchester with the Red Sox thought here in this truncated season. What do you got, Darren? Darren? Okay. Oh. Yeah, Darren, you're on.
Yeah, hey. Oh, okay. I listen to you guys, and basically, I came up from Florida, and as far as baseball in... You know, my son is concerned. He loves football. He plays baseball. But, you know, he had some...
Hey, Darren, I'm just going to let you go. I didn't feel like you're quite ready there. His comment line said bets trade. And we hit on this earlier. There is a fascinating thing in play that Major League Baseball, and it's not final yet. They're sort of going back and forth. Shocker, there's a stalemate between the owners and the players. But this issue over service time. And, it applies to everyone, pending free agents or arbitration eligible guys. If this season is banged, if they have no season, do you have to come back and complete another season to get your seventh year to be a free agent or your third year to be arbitration eligible or to go into the next year of your contract, you know, whatever the case may be. And the word right now is that this is going to count as a season, even if they play just, you know, like a 1 month stupid tournament. Like you're going to get a year's service time this year. And that's what the latest word is, which means there's a possibility that the Los Angeles Dodgers could have given you two good prospects. I don't know if they're great prospects and we don't need to, you know, retry that case, but the Dodgers could have given you a couple prospects for zero games of Mookie Betts. Because the long story short is that Mookie Betts, no matter whether they play one game this year or 100 games this year, he's still going to be a free agent after this season. So that actually might work out nicely for the Red Sox, Mayos.
Well, and Mike, I read you earlier. I'll read it again. Bill Shakin of the LA Times, he's covered baseball for a long time, wrote this, that as the league office and the union negotiate plans, there's a proposal on the table that would make Betts a free agent no matter what. In the event the season is canceled entirely, a player who completed a full season in 2019 would get credit for a full season in 2020. So even if they play no games, and I don't know that they'll approve that or not, it sounds a little radical to me. I can't imagine that the owners would ever go for that. But in that scenario, Mookie could never play a game for them. Never play a game and hit the open market after they gave up two prospects.
I mean, that's
crazy.
We talked about these NHL and NBA teams giving up a draft pick for a rental that they may never get to use for a Stanley Cup run, and they just peed away a draft pick. Should they get their draft pick back? This is like that conversation on steroids.
That'd be so crazy.
I mean
really. I've never heard anything like that. Like, but could you imagine how pissed the Dodgers would be?
Oh my God.
Which is why I love it.
Yeah.
If it sticks it to the Dodgers, I'm in.
Joe and Revere, what do you got on the Pats?
First of all, I need you guys to sew your sleeves back on your sweatshirts. Forget about Bill Belichick. You're thinking about this all wrong. Bill Belichick, the GM, shoots Bill Belichick, the coach, in the foot when Bill Belichick isn't shooting himself in the foot. And my other thing, Tampa Bay, riddle me this one. Next year, you look at it, Tom Brady, the savior to Tampa. They haven't got to the playoffs in 13 years. They get to the NFC Championship. You're looking at it wrong. Oh, Tampa's a terrible organization. Maybe that's the point. He wants to be the savior to bring them back. That'll shoot Bill Belichick in the foot.
Okay, Joe. Here's the thing about Tampa. It doesn't mean enough to enough people. Even if he turns them around and turns them into a legit franchise, they don't really care down there. It doesn't matter to a lot of people.
It's not everlasting. It's a sugar high.
But it's also like, oh, I turned the Jacksonville Jaguars into a winner. It's like, it doesn't matter. If you go to the Giants and turn the New York Giants back into a Super Bowl contender and put them back on the map, you've done something lasting. You've done something that matters to a lot of people, that's generational. If you go to the Bears and for the first time give them good quarterback play on the way to a Super Bowl, you've reestablished a hallmark, real franchise that transcends generations and means a lot to a lot of people going back decades. If you go and turn the Tampa Bay Buccaneers into a winner, what does that mean? It means one weekend they might go to a Bucs game, the next weekend they'll go to Disney World, and still no one gives a two craps about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It doesn't mean anything.
That's just not a real sports town. I mean, it'd still be great for Brady and his legacy if he were to win a championship there, but there's no long-lasting, like...
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, completely. Like, there's like five or six, maybe tops, maybe areas in the country where it really matters as much as it does here.
Yeah, it would just really, it'd be like a long weekend, a good long weekend, right? Like, we went to Mardi Gras, we partied, it was a good time. And then it's all over, and that's it, you move on, you remember the weekend, and that's all it was.
I mean, even Montana going to Kansas City, that's not exactly the Dallas Cowboys, but it is an original AFL team,
it means something to those lunatics.
Firmly established team that's been around a long time with, blah, blah, blah. And so, but the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I mean, freaking, it's literally Mickey Mouse operation. And so, yes, it'll look good in the short term. He turned that outfit into a winner, and that'll enhance his legacy, but it's not going to mean anything to enough people. It's just...
I mean, they've been around 40-some-odd years, and that's just a franchise I'll always look at as an expansion franchise.
Yes, you know? Right? They are always an expansion team. That's right. We continue with your thoughts right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke's blue.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Patriot Nation is grieving the loss of Tom. How do you feel about Tom's decision to leave from a dad's perspective, Tom?
Well, Dell, 20 years is about four lifetimes in the sports world. It's pretty unusual that people don't leave one franchise for another. And after 20 years... I just kind of sense that this is going to be kind of a new chapter. It's kind of a way to reinvigorate things. And the Patriots are darn good to us and darn good to Tommy. And, now that he's moved on, it's kind of fun. We get to see some different sides of the world. We don't get down to Florida very often and down in that area. So it's pretty cool. And I think it is for him too. I think he's going to be, he's going to be a little bit reinvigorated because after 20 years, things get much more boring.
So that's Tom Brady Sr., Brady's old man, doing a podcast there with Del Curry, Steph Curry's old man. Everyone's got a podcast, Murray.
Can you at least get microphones or like a Wi-Fi connection, two phones?
Oh. That's the idea of the podcast. You sit around and grab ass on a lousy connection, and you just take your time for 20 minutes.
There are some that are good, but more often than not, they sound like that, and I just want to drown myself.
Like my wrestling podcast.
So anyway, I think Tom Brady Sr., if Tom Brady Jr. was subdued when he met the Tampa media the other day on that conference call, I think his old man is ebullient. I think his old man is thrilled to be gone and thrilled to be out of New England.
And that's him with a governor on. Obviously, he's the son has spoken up and said, listen, Dad, like take the high road. But he still is like... It's just
this going to be fun.
Joyful.
Whoever said going to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers is going to be fun? Well, if you're fleeing Bill Belichick, I guess that's fun. And, you know, what he said made sense. 20 years is a long time. It's a lifetime. It's very rare for, you know, athletes to finish with one team. And that all makes sense. But the one caveat, the one difference is that it's rare for someone to leave when you're winning Super Bowls. Like, that's the difference. If you leave at the end when it's Philip Rivers leaving the Chargers after 16, 17 years, okay, it had run its course, you hadn't won. Like that does. That happens all the time. How often does it happen when the guy leaves in the middle of winning Super Bowls, which is still essentially, I know you lost in the first round last year, but that's still essentially where they're at. That doesn't happen. And what, winning every year isn't fun, Tom? Senior? Junior? Like, that's no longer, I guess not. Like, Bill must have, you must have hated Bill that much that it was no fun, even though every year you're winning 12 games and just about every year going to Super Bowls. That's no fun, huh?
Well, I think that... Well, go ahead.
They're running out of room in that safe deposit box for all those championship rings. You know, it was... I mean, I might as well move on. It's just, it's getting a little old.
But that inner circle, the dad, the wife, the trainer, they all look at Tom and like, you're the more important piece. You're the more important piece. This is about you, not him. He doesn't value you enough. Just in his ear. So, yeah, they value the championships, but they look at him as the more important piece, which Tom ultimately does too, but he just never really will say it. It's up to those three to do it, and now they're going to all crow. If you got Giselle to talk right now, I'm sure she'd say the same type of thing.
What would she say?
It's good to be fun down there in Tampa. It's good to get away from those gross people in the weather where it's 10 months of gray and cold. And what'd you just say, Giselle? I thought you liked it up there. Oh, sorry.
I think they were rooting for Brady to leave. I think the old man was pretty happy today in that podcast. All right, back to your phones. Tony in Stoneham. Hi, Tony.
How you doing today?
Good. How are you? You hanging in there?
Okay. I'm hanging in there. Twice I was a hold for you this week, and you shut down before I got on.
Sorry about that.
I want to talk to you about Tampa Bay and the and Brady and everything. Who's going to have a better record this year, Tampa Bay or the Patriots?
I'd probably say Tampa Bay.
Absolutely. Tampa. Absolutely. So, he was pushed out of here, okay? He was pushed out of here. They gave no receivers this year. I don't take one blame for Brady being what he was here last year. They did nothing to help him. If he is anything as good as he was this year, and he was average, Tampa Bay's got a good shot to go to the Super Bowl.
Tony, you give him 0% of the blame for last year? Zero?
Yes, for this reason. He had no receivers, and they didn't do anything to get him.
Okay, he still had Julian Edelman, and he did have Mohamed Sanu, and he still had Bill Belichick as his coach, and he still had enough there to be better than he was. I'm sorry. I mean, I don't put the majority on Brady. I don't. I mean, it was more a function of what was around him, more. But to say Brady was at zero when he didn't show up in the offseason and he threw his teammates under the bus and kind of sort of had a sour attitude about the whole thing, I'm sorry. Brady's not at a zero. I don't give him, I don't know what percent you want to give him, 20%, 15, 25, somewhere in that range, I'll give him. I'm certainly not giving him more than 50%. That was the players around him, but he's not at zero, Maz.
No, look, and any chance he had of getting some of those receivers, at least from the young guys, he helped undermine with his attitude. So his attitude was terrible. It really was. It destroyed any chance that those guys had of contributing to the team in any meaningful way at the end of the year.
But I do agree that if he's fully engaged, puts in all the work, does everything he can to get to know his new teammates, gets to know his new teammates, and is protected, he'll have a really good year. I have no doubt. He still has the ability, if all those conditions are in place, to have a really good year. Pat in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Pat.
Hi. Got a question for you guys. Glad to see you're all healthy.
You too.
Do you think Tom Brady, part of Tom Brady's decision to go to Tampa Bay was because of the financial situation down there, no income tax? Number one question. Number two, is the NFL going to do anything for these kids that are losing income because of this virus? I'll hang up. Good luck.
Okay. When
I
you
love
say
Maz.
Okay. Yeah, me too, Pat. When you say kids, what do you mean?
The people that work the stadiums and the tournaments, like PGA tournaments.
Sure, sure, sure. Okay, well, that, you know, I'll cut you off, Pat. I thought you were talking about the NFL. They don't have to burn that bridge till they get to August. So, like, they're exempt from that. But, you know, I don't know. Depends what the owner is. You could be like Mark Cuban on day one, Sam, taking care of everyone because that's the right thing to do. Or you could be Jeremy Jacobs, who could give his employees a lump of coal and say, be thankful you got that. So
I will say this.
Somewhere in between.
I know a lot of these NFL owners also own some of these MLS clubs, and to my knowledge, those employees aren't being paid right now. So
yeah, I don't trust the majority of the NFL owners to do the right thing.
Yeah,
I'm sure some will. I'm sure some won't. The income tax thing. I would hate to think that Tom Brady isn't Tampa Bay Buccaneer Maz because he doesn't want to pay state income taxes. Don't tell me he's that guy.
Well, I think it might have been a factor in Tampa versus the Chargers.
Really?
Well, the bigger thing is L.A., that it was L.A. and it was the West Coast. But that's a pretty significant difference when you're talking $50 million, right? It's, what, 13% in California?
So do the math.
So now, what's that?
What's 13% of 50?
So it's what? It's over $5
million. Okay, good.
I was going to say, haven't we learned our lesson?
So, but which is real money. Even for him,
what's she pulling a year? That should, it should be moot.
But
okay, but again, but
how does that factor? But how does that factor in over what the franchise looks like, what the organization looks like, who my coach is, what my offense is, what's my, you know, how am I set up to succeed, my family situation? Don't tell me he's putting the income tax over all those other factors. That would be really disappointing.
No, I didn't say it was number one on the list, but I would hope that if the Chargers knew they were competing with Tampa Bay, all things being equal, I think it's incumbent upon the Chargers to say, we'll make up the difference.
Sure.
We'll give you an extra $6 million, and that way, we, you know, you net out the same. Like, because it's not a, you know, when you're talking 13% or whatever it is in California versus zero in Florida, that's not an insignificant sum of money.
Anthony is in New Hampshire on the MLB season. Go ahead, Anthony.
Hey, guys. I'm just wondering about, you know, if they were to condense the games to doubleheaders, if that would really hurt the Red Sox because of the bullpen games, and you know, that would probably force two bullpen games a week, which I don't think the Red Sox bullpen could, you know, handle it because of, you know, the players they have on their roster.
Let me tell you what, Anthony. I like the Red Sox chances in bullpen games versus games started by the guys currently in their rotation.
Me too. I've
seen it too often. These freaking super nerds, man, they can put together these bullpen games like you read about. Carmine spits out the order of pitchers, and I'll take Heim Bloom's bullpen game over. Who are their 3 and 4 starters again, Maz?
Well, let's see. That would be Martin Perez, Ryan Weber.
Okay. I'll give you a prediction. So their rotation is Eddie Rodriguez, Nathan Eovaldi, Martin Perez, something named Weber, and then bullpen. Okay?
Right.
The bullpen's their fifth starter. I bet you their record in bullpen games will be better than their record in games started by Weber and Martin Perez.
I think there's a good chance of that.
I mean, you gave me the numbers before. Tampa's numbers in their bullpen game gave them like a, you know, pace to win like 95 games a year or something, right?
96. Yeah, it was close to 600, which is really a crazy number when you think of it. And the other thing is, you know, to the caller's point, those doubleheaders can often be great equalizers when it comes to a pitching staff. So, you know, to me, the Red Sox chances probably get better if more teams are playing doubleheaders.
Or just, I don't know if it's a pitching thing, but just the nature of the doubleheader. You know, if you're playing a team much better than you, I think the odds of you losing on a Tuesday night and a Wednesday night back-to-back are much greater than you losing both games of a doubleheader for some reason, right? Don't you think?
Yes, absolutely. Again, I think those doubleheaders are equalizers, and they tend to wear everybody down.
They split. They almost always split.
It does feel that way. Again, I don't know that my recollection was when I looked at the numbers, it didn't bear it out that way, but I need to know who's playing those doubleheaders. And so, you know, to me, it feels like doubleheaders are just destined for a split.
Meanwhile, the impact of the Red Sox cheating scandal. We have some thoughts on that right after Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Maz.
I love it.
You were right, Maz.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
you heard in the update there, Rob Manfred says he's completed the investigation into the Boston Red Sox. He'll release it sometime before the season starts, but he's got too much going on right now. All those games to keep track of, apparently. have been going on for months. So what's your read on that, Maz? What do you think's coming down the pike for the Red Sox on that?
So I think they're going to get some sort of penalty here. My gut tells me draft picks. I know the Red Sox at the time, obviously, the dismissal of Cora said, we want you to reserve judgment. Don't make any determinations until the facts came out, assuming or insinuating, rather, that they were innocent in this whole thing. But a week ago, their attorney was representing them in an online betting case, which basically... fans are upset, or some bettors, online bettors, upset over the Houston Astros cheating scandal, and told the judge that we don't agree with the commissioner's findings as it pertained to 2018. So clearly the Red Sox know what those findings are, and we just don't know what they are. And I don't think the Red Sox would agree if they were found innocent, or disagree if they were found innocent. So there's something in there. My guess is draft picks.
Okay. So I think that, even in this, I think is something to the Red. I think this whole hiatus, if there's a silver lining for the Red Sox, I think it sort of benefits them, because it was felt like a bridge sort of step back year anyway. And if it's a funky sort of half season, I think that mitigates it, that, I don't know, at least experience the pain of a full 162 games if the team sucks. But if it's considered something of a throwaway season anyway, maybe that mitigates the pain of what's a natural step back anyway. If, you were lamenting not having Mookie Betts for one more year before he comes a free agent, well, that's sort of mitigated because you wouldn't have him for a full season anyway. If you're going to lose a season of Chris Sale with the elbow surgery, well, one of those seasons is sort of a half season anyway. So I think that all sort of sets up. And I think in this regard, it does too, because this cheating thing sort of getting lost in the effluvium of everything else. And boy, if this is a half season, then the interim for Ron Renneke is really interim. And if the news of the cheating scandal sort of gets lost in everything else, I think it all sort of sets up for Alex Cora coming back next year, even more than before.
Well, because again, people will be focused on other things entirely. And so I wouldn't rule that out. I mean, I don't know that it's going to happen. I don't know that that's where they're headed. But with all these things that are going on, if and when baseball comes back next spring, and next spring, I think we're all assuming there's going to be a full season, there will be so much emphasis on a return to normalcy that I think in a lot of ways the Cora thing could just slide right under relatively.
That's what I mean.
There'll still be attention on it. I think you're right. And that it could, they could totally get him back in there.
The public opinion on that will be, who cares? Let's just get back to normal.
And I think, I think the Astros sort of benefit from it too.
Definitely.
Huge.
And we lose out on what I think was going to be the best story across Major League Baseball, if you care. The best league story was going to be the Astros' response to all the hate. Ooh, they were going to get, trashed wherever they went.
They were already getting plunked a lot in spring training.
And these, again, where the average age was death in those, the old-timers taking out their teeth and throwing them on the field. They were so upset.
Kill the bum.
Shaking their canes. They were shaking their walkers at the Houston Astros during those spring training games. But, everywhere the Astros went, they were going to get just destroyed. And how would they respond? Would they put it back in their faces? Would they go on a run? Would they shut everybody up and show everybody that we're not just about banging on garbage cans and have a great year? Or would they sort of turtle in the face of it? That was going to be the most entertaining thing to watch all season.
I tell you, based on the way they were talking in February, they were getting ready to wear the black hat, which would have been pretty interesting.
When they come back, is that going to be at the forefront? Or is it going to be just the joy of being back in a collective stadium watching a game, right?
Yeah, I think most people, including the players, I'll be like, huh, that thing? Oh, whatever.
Exactly. So I think that's going to help the Red Sox too. So anyway, there's that thought. We continue with yours. Our buddy Billy's in Rhode Island. Hi, Billy.
How you doing, Felga?
Good.
Gee, good. Let's start over again. My thought is on Brady's salary. I don't think there was a lot of interest in him to start off with, but I think he kind of got what he wanted to with that he asked for the Patriots. Obviously, they had no interest in him whatsoever. I really believe that. And I think he just found the team that wanted him, gave him what he wanted, and he signed. I think that's his philosophy on it. Just go with a team that's building up. If he can't do worse than the last guy, he's always going to come up. So he's still going to look good. Plus, he got his money, and he said, here you go, Bill. I signed the contract that you wouldn't even give me half of.
So
I think it was as simple as that. I don't think there was a lot of action for him. And I think he got what he wanted, and it all worked out for him.
Yeah, he wanted out.
And the Patriots also.
Yeah, he wanted out because he hated Bill. So he got what he wanted, and he had just enough interest to save face. Just. Although it's kind of questionable when you end up in Tampa whether you really had the interest you thought you were going to have. But, if you know, I think he could have saved even more face by going to L.A. Because, hey, you know, double Freedom Rockets, man, I'm going to Los Angeles. Much better place for everyone, much better place for my brand. I'm going to a real stadium and a real place and a real city. And I know you don't agree with that, Maz, but L.A. is. And so, you know, I don't think Brady had a big market. I don't think he had a lot of teams interested, but he had just enough to save face to say, I'm going to a good team for good money and I don't need you.
And he would have been in the conference, which I like better. But, you know, look, my thoughts of L.A. aside, I thought the Chargers were the right fit from the beginning. So, you know, out there to me, I still think he made the wrong decision by going to Tampa, but he'll obviously win that one out if he can go there and succeed.
Okay, speaking of Brady, I think he got a little Trump mentioned today. Trump doing his daily briefing on the coronavirus mentioned.
Apparently so. I'm trying to track down.
Well, hold on. No, I think Jimmy Stewart has it. So
we do.
Go ahead.
After the meeting with the world leaders, I spoke with the governors of our 50 states and territories. Our team has been in constant communication with the governors, and we had a terrific meeting. Somebody in the fake news said that one of the governors said, oh, we need Tom Brady. I said, yeah. He meant that in a positive way. He said, we need Tom Brady. We're going to do great. And he meant it very positively, but they took it differently. They think Tom Brady should be leading the effort. That's only fake news, and I like Tom Brady. Spoke to him the other day. He's a great guy. But I wish the news could be real. I wish it could be honest. I wish it weren't corrupt.
Okay, so again,
was he trying to say that he's putting it on someone that's saying that Tom Brady should be leading the charge against coronavirus? Huh? Like, I'm confused.
I was a little confused by that.
Spoke to him the other day.
What the hell is he talking about? I have no idea. Is he complimenting Brady or shredding him? Like, I have no idea. I don't get it.
If we're going to fight this thing, we need a leader like Brady, not a loser like Garoppolo. He peed down his pants in the fourth quarter.
Oh, my God.
Spoke to him the other day. He's a great guy.
He's just like, dude.
Tremendous competitor.
There's a pandemic. There's people dying and, like, he's railing about Tom Brady and fake news. Like, good Lord.
See him
he meant that in a positive way. He said, we need Tom Brady. We're going to do great. And he meant it very positively, but they took it differently. They think Tom Brady should be leading the effort. That's only fake news, and I like Tom Brady. Spoke to him the other day.
He's a
great guy.
He can do it. Throwing touchdown passes, protecting the football, making masks, bringing supplies to hospitals. Tom's the man. Talked to him the other day.
It's so true, though. In the middle of the thing, he's got a name drop on top of him. I talked to him the other day. Great guy. Tremendous fella. Tremendous.
Garoppolo's not who you want to see. Fighting the virus. Did you see him in the Super Bowl? Crap his pants. What a wild non sequitur. That was great.
That is.
I saw Twitter blowing up about it. I was like, this can't be real. Like, why would he be talking about Tom Brady during a coronavirus?
Spoke to him the other day. He's a great guy.
That's amazing.
Seriously, oh,
give me the whole thing again, Stu. Give me the whole thing.
Dr. Tom had dinner with him at Giselle.
After the meeting with the world leaders, I spoke with the governors of our 50 states and territories. Our team has been in constant communication with the governors, and we had a terrific meeting. Somebody in the fake news said that one of the governors said, oh, we need Tom Brady. I said, yeah. He meant that in a positive way. He said, we need Tom Brady. We're going to do great. And he meant it very positively, but they took it differently. They think Tom Brady should be leading the effort. That's only fake news, and I like Tom Brady. Spoke to him the other day. He's a great guy. But I wish the news could be real. I wish it could be honest. I wish it weren't corrupt.
That's wild.
Say
talk
what?
Talk to Governor Baker. Very upset that he's lost Tom Brady. Governor Ron DeSantis, happy he has Tom Brady. Tom Brady, a leader, unlike Jimmy Garoppolo, a loser.
I, I think I finally figured it out that one of the governors made a comment that we need Tom Brady, and the media took that as a shot at Trump. I finally put it together, I think. I think that's what he means. Fake news.
Who knows?
We don't need Brady. We have me.
Just put Fauci up there.
Talked to him the other day. He's a great guy.
He's got to tell you that he talked to him, too.
Could be real. Totally. I wish it could be honest. I wish it weren't corrupt.
Anyway, so there, Brady got his mention today.
Spoke to him the other day. He's a great guy.
Tony in Cumberland, Rhode Island on Terry Bradshaw. Go ahead, another genius.
Could have texted him on the way home.
Go ahead, Tony.
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
Good.
You got to be kidding me with Trump. Unbelievable. Okay, let's talk about Bradshaw. Bradshaw, opposite scenario with Brady and Belichick. Bradshaw went through years and years of counseling after he broke up with Chuck Knowles.
Right. So he didn't break up, Tony. He stuck it out. He was with him his entire career. He never left.
Yeah, but he was a weak pussy. He's jealous of Brady because he should have did the same thing.
Yeah, you might be right. You might be right. I'm going to let you go before you do any more damage. We're allowed to say that on the air, but we don't want to...
In that context, yeah.
Yeah, we don't want to beat it, you know, spend too much time on it. But I do wonder if that's part of Bradshaw's psychology where he's ripping Brady.
Because he wished he could have been able to do it. You could just jump to another team as a free agent at that time.
So Bradshaw apparently hated Knoll, and they had a big back and forth, and, you know, Knoll beat the crap out of him his whole career. Bradshaw, you know, sent him into therapy, apparently. But Bradshaw never left, and he stuck it out with Chuck Knoll and won all those championships. And so maybe he looks at Brady and says, I stuck it out. You know, I sucked it up and dealt with some a-hole coach. Why can't you? Which is easy to say, as Murray just mentioned. It's not like Bradshaw had any chance. There was no free agency in the NFL until 91 or whatever Reggie White's year was. Right. Bradshaw couldn't leave. So no wonder you had no choice, Terry. Like, if you had free agency, you know, would you have bolted at some point because you got so sick of Chuck Knoll's crap? Maybe you would have. And maybe you're jealous of the fact that Brady has been able to do it.
It's amazing when you say it, too, that the NFL didn't have free agency until 1991.
Isn't that insane?
Oh, my gosh. It's unbelievable.
Talk about the
owners.
Spoke
to him the other day. He's a great guy.
Between Trump and the caller, I think we've done one of our best segments in the 10.5 years we've been on the air.
Been in constant communication with the governors, and we had a terrific meeting. Somebody in the fake news said that one of the governors said, oh, we need Tom Brady. I said, yeah. He meant that in a positive way. He said, we need Tom Brady. We're going to do great. And he meant it very positively, but they took it differently. They think Tom Brady should be leading the effort. That's only fake news, and I like Tom Brady. Spoke to him the other day. He's a great guy.
No. Anyone who says Tom Brady should be leading the infectious disease, I would say yes. That would be fake news, Donald.
I talked to him the other day. Good friend of mine, too.
Meanwhile, right, he's talking to world leaders, fighting a pandemic. He's still got time to not only talk to Tom Brady, but brag about it.
Spoke to him the other day. He's a great guy.
Great guy.
Have you seen how he eats? He's impervious to disease. He should be leading the CDC.
Just goes to show you what's important to him. Yes, he had. I talked to him the other day.
Spoke to him the other day. He's a great guy.
Great guy. Great guy. All right, on that note, the final word is next.
Dugger has sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And the final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, only one place to go, that's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
Nobody. Nobody at all. We'll be deploying a TB12 response team to all the hotspots, led by the talented Dr. Alex Guerrero. Great guy, smart guy. Talked to him yesterday.
All right, a lot of baseball talk today. It should have been opening day in Major League Baseball, obviously. But one of the things that's been talked about, you know, when the game does come back, is maybe starting Major League Baseball up with the All-Star Game. Something both Felger and Maz hate.
First idea they came up with, and the number one thing on their list, was to start the season with the All-Star Game. And when I read that, Maz, I said to myself, baseball really doesn't get it, do they?
Oh, my gosh.
They don't get it. They don't get it. Who gives a rat fart about the All-Star Game?
It's enough to make you want to cancel your subscription. That's the stupidest thing I've ever
Seriously.
Heard.
Is that going to drive people back to the game?
No.
Who cares about your stupid All-Star Game? Kenny Rosenthal and Jason Stark, they still think baseball matters, and they still think baseball, people get horny for baseball. And, oh, wee, look at all the stars on the field in one place, and those are my heroes. It's not like that anymore, guys. It's not like that. No one cares about any All-Star game, hardly. Never mind that. So you think that's going to, you know, like, that's your big oomph? That's your big kickoff in All-Star game? Oh, my. When I read that, I'm like, these guys don't get it, Maz.
No, they don't get it. And look, there's two things here. First, they made reference to the NBA wanting to play an All-Star game, which is something Adam Silver floated last week. Silver floated it as a charity event. He put just to give people something to watch and will raise money for people affected by COVID-19. Nowhere in that thing did they mention charity. Secondly, they also mentioned All-Star bonus clauses for the players. It remains to be seen how that would be addressed. Who gives a rat's ass whether these guys get their bonus clauses for the All-Star game? Now, if you want to give all that money to charity, that's a totally different thing. But I read that and went, irrelevant. The All-Star game's irrelevant. Who gives a crap about the All-Star game?
Who gives a crap, a rat's ass, a rat's fart? Who gives any of that stuff?
Like, on the sports calendar, is there a more useless event than the MLB All-Star
that's
game?
That's the week you take a vacation. That's the week you get out of Dodge.
Right.
Like, good Lord, the All-Star Game. Stop with that.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.